Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Next item on the agenda are minutes. A motion is required. So we have a motion to approve the minutes.
The bowling move to approve.
Any more seconds?
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed. Staff reports. Finance progress report, Curtis.
All right, thank you very much. You'll see we started the new year. We've got our first month in. We spent about 6% of the budget. I think I mentioned last time we are in the process of hiring a new GIS person, so we're excited to have a new person on board. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing no questions, a motion is required.
All in motion to approve. Tomasi second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So we have a technical progress report. Matt Stewart.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Have a lot of good, positive news for you today. So the first thing, I don't know a whole lot about this yet, but I heard on a meeting last week that there will be some new funding coming out through ODOT safety geared specifically for smaller scale pedestrian and bike projects. If you're interested in doing a pilot project or like a demonstration type project or a larger data collection effort, it's something to consider. We've been told to expect something next month. I don't know the details of how much funding is available or what the cap is or anything like that yet, but if you're interested, reach out to me, and I can certainly touch base with our friends at ODOT. I also just wanted to mention, some of you might be aware, that there was another round of Safe Streets for All that was awarded, and some really good news there. So in our region, we've had two communities, the cities of Akron and Fairlawn, that had applied to do some continued planning, and in Fairlawn's case, an actual demonstration grant. Both of those applicants were funded, so we're really happy about that. What we're seeing, you know, just looking through the awards, the feds are very serious about benefits to active transportation users. So 95% of the awards are going toward providing significant safety benefits to pedestrians, 94% to bicyclists. So, like, if you're serious about that and kind of reinventing corridors or certain areas, intersections, parts of your community to accommodate those more vulnerable users, certainly something to consider for the future. But again, just congrats to Akron and Fairlawn for getting that money. Really excited about that. And I was just going to mention, we'll talk a lot later in this meeting. We have several of our input documents for the long-range, for Outlook 2050, our long-range plan. We'll be talking about those. I think we, assuming last month was our record for our mail packet length, we beat that this time. We had a 280-page one, but a lot of these things, we talked about the draft plans last month, but, you know, be sure to ask any questions as the staff is giving their reports on those documents. But otherwise, hopefully, you know, pretty simple meeting otherwise. Then the last thing I just wanted to mention, probably all have been bombarded with emails, but just a reminder that our annual meeting's coming up October 11th. The deadline to apply is October 4th, 1 week before. But that'll be at 9 a.m. at the Sheraton on October 11th. It's a Friday. So if you haven't signed up yet, please do. And happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Next on the agenda, Amy will discuss federal funds report.
Thank you. Well, not much has changed since we met last month. At the end of September, we'll be at the end of our first quarter, and we had zero projects set. We also are definitely over programmed, so we have to get these projects sold so that we can eventually get loans to cover if for some reason you received it, someone in our office, you want to receive it, please just let me know. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Old business. We have the final draft for congestion management process. Curtis.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So staff told me I talked a lot about these two documents at the last meeting, so I will be brief. The CMP is the first document I will discuss. It is our congestion management process. We did unveil sort of the recommendations, the strategies, all of that at the last meeting and asked for comments. We did incorporate, I know Tony from Cuyahoga Falls, you had made a comment about some train conflicts. We tried to incorporate that. But we also provided the entire document as part of the mail out. So we are just asking you to review that document. Again, remind you that it's looking at congestion in the region. Overall, positive news is there's not a whole lot of it, especially on our arterial streets for long periods of time, and there are no recommendations that lead to any kind of major widenings or anything like that. We just don't have, we don't really have the need at this point based on the analysis that we're seeing from 2022. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. We'll move into the planning data forecast.
All right. Again, thanks. This is the planning data forecast is the document that, one, we use as an input for our model that ODOT requires us to update our socioeconomic variables through 2050. As I explained in the last meeting, that we basically have two different scenarios. One, we needed to use the Ohio Department of Development control totals. Those control totals were somewhat unsatisfactory to a lot of the staff and actually to a lot of the state because they incorporated quite a bit of COVID data that they thought the migration, in-migration, out-migration, births, deaths showed maybe a bleaker picture than what we can expect. So we also developed a current trend scenario, which looks at us sort of more maintaining the status quo with a little bit of growth in the region. The memo was included in the mail out, but the bottom line is we are recommending using a two-scenario approach where the first scenario goes towards inputs to our model, and the second scenario is one that we will use mostly for our long-range planning purposes for recommendations in our long-range plan. We are looking for approval of this document this month, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. A motion is required.
Paradise moves.
Clearing. Second.
Motion is requested, but we're moving forward. All right, we have a second. We have a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Same sign for the noes. No noes. Right. Motion passes.
Thank you.
2024 freight plan by Jeff.
Freight movement in the AMATS area. Freight plan can be found using the mail-out link and is also available
and changes to the original draft plan that was presented in August. So the staff is asking for final approval of 2024 freight plan. Are there any questions?
Seeing no questions, a motion is requested.
Molly, move to approve.
Shira, second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. 2024 transit plan. I'm Matt.
So this transit plan summarizes the current transit services of the Inland Transit region and offers goals and strategies that will inform our region's long-range plan. So the next five slides basically cover chapter two, and then we move on to the goals and strategy section. So but first of all, please forgive any spelling errors in the matrix, since we forgot to get spell check in Excel. That will be reflected in the transit plan. We start off with analyzing the demographics of the region that traditionally show higher transit usage. We cover total population, elderly, minority, low-income, most households. Then we overlay that with the two major transit authorities, Metro and Pardo. And as you can see, although not so well with this map, but they do get the transit routes do go through highly dense areas of the geographic. So this data was gathered using 2020 census information for the total population and for the rest of the demographic information we use 2022 5-year sort of estimates. So we looked at coverage for the overall region and then individually coverage for each community within our region. So we used estimated total population and population within a quarter mile of route transit stop for each community, and then that equal the estimated percentage of transit coverage. So as you can see, the larger communities really got the most population within a quarter mile of transit stop, with Akron Kent at the top, 65%. The next five are called Coral, Barnett, Stover, and Talmadge. All these are eventually coverage and similar size. And then some of the smaller communities, as you'll see in that section, we have all of the communities that are coverage. Some of the highlights there are Windham, Derricksville, High Road, and Agador, all between 40% and 54% coverage. Next, we looked at individual ridership with Metro and Parta. Both saw a dip due to the pandemic in 2021. They both reached their lowest point in 2021. Since then, they have recovered. We looked at overall ridership by route, which is in the plan. But with Metro, they have 24 routes. The 2019 boardings show a little over 5 million. Obviously, their lowest point in 2021 at 2.7 million, which accounted for 53% of COVID ridership, pre-COVID ridership. So Metro since has recovered 2023 at 74% of pre-COVID delays. But it gets interesting when you look at the highest ridership routes. So Metro's top six highest ridership routes are the 1, the 2, 3, 8, 10, and 6. So 1, 2, 3, 8, 10, and 6. These six routes currently make up 54% of overall system ridership. All experienced the same reduction in 2020 and 2021. 2021 at 66% of pre-COVID, but now as of last year, all six of those routes have recovered to 97% of pre-COVID ridership levels, with the 1, the 2, the 3 out. Parta, kind of the same story. They have 15 fixed routes, 10 county routes, and 5 campus routes. Parta's ridership did lowest point in 2021 with a little over 330,000 boardings, which accounted for 32% of 2019 pre-COVID ridership. Ridership showed an increase in 2022, and then last year at 80% pre-COVID numbers, a little over 850,000. So we looked at individual boardings for that measurement of ridership. So the four highest reporting routes for Parta are the number 58, Summit East, number 51, Campus Loop, number 35, Interurban East, and number 30, about 77% of their overall ridership. So we get from 2021, some East and Inter-Urban East have recovered to 77% and 87% of pre-COVID levels. Where the West is at 90%. Kansas City is outperforming 2019 levels at 113%. So MARTA and Metro are almost there with their pre-overall ridership routes expected to reach or exceed 2019 levels by the end of this year. So and then the plan covers Metro's fleet, Target's fleet, and if you look at some important facility and park and ride locations for Metro, Metro and Target. And so Metro's overall fleet, a couple highlights here, Metro's overall fleet, active fleet is 222 vehicles, so it's 131 large fixed route buses, 91 demand response vehicles made up of buses and vans. Target deploys an active fleet of 62 vehicles. We have 31 large 40-foot buses, and 26 smaller LTVs, and 5 vans. So that's that makes up their fleet. And then we go over some of the challenges facing transit just in the area. I know we've heard over the past 15 years that aging of America is happening. Over the next 5 years, we're supposed to see that peak. We'll see if that actually is true. But with that, we'll likely see an increase in senior trips, the demand for senior trips. Increased cost of transit, obviously, each year, inflation. We'll see how that goes. It seems to be an increased cost every year. Understanding and adjusting the workforce in the area, there's a number of new companies, existing companies looking to relocate businesses, and just kind of whether or not that those transits are going to adjust service to meet those needs is just going to be a challenge. As well as specific investment into TOT and BRT. There have been some recent examples, the reimagining of the Gateway East Main Street project in Kent, which is the city of Kent, KSU, PARTA, EMS, and ODOT project. And Metro with their BRT feasibility study, which is looking at potential BRT services, specific corridors along Metro service. And then just always specific areas that are currently not served by transit, just whether or not to use resources to serve those members. So we have a performance measures section. That's super boring, so we're going to skip that. So these last two slides just deal with the goals and strategies section. These goals and strategies kind of inform our long-range plan. So we established six goals that these six goals fall into three types of categories for collaboration, funding, and service. And each goal has one in four strategies. So the six goals, investment programs to support transit, it's kind of obvious, it's a funding goal. So just pursue local, state, federal funding programs to support transit operations. Both transit authorities will do that. Invest in sustainable fleet facilities and operations. That's a funding and service type goal. Strategy there is pursue and ensure sustainable fleet and maintain a stable bill of care of all transit assets. To preserve the investment in transit sustainability, so it's kind of really low. Just at that goal. Integrate transit and regional transportation projects, that's a funding and collaboration type goal. So just work with local communities to discuss integration of roadway projects, transit, bus shelter, we've had those discussions here. Ensure that transit integral part of land use planning efforts, funding and collaboration type goal. And optimize transit service, another funding and service type goal. So just study the current types of service Metro and PARTA offer in 5 to 10 years, which is just new travel patterns. And then last, increase sidewalk access to bus stop and shelters, another funding and service type goal. So as you can see, funding is pretty much underlying the theme for all of these type goals. So the last part of the plan we cover those federal, state, and local funding. It's just a really long explanation of it. If you have any questions.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Maybe you can answer this, but we'll see. I'm just really curious, why has ridership been so slow to recover back to pre-COVID numbers? Any idea?
I'm not sure. I think there's really one exact answer. I would say just travel patterns have changed. People have either moved on.
Or working from
new
home
jobs, or maybe working from home, so I think And it just kind of seems to me maybe this year and next year you shouldn't see that increase so much unless, you know, Metro Florida are doing things to just increase driver ridership. But I think maybe towards the end of this year and the middle of next year we can kind of say, okay, this is the new normal of ridership. And a lot of bigger transits like New York, Chicago, LA recovered really quick from the pandemic. And then kind of mid-size, smaller type of transit.
So thank you.
Seeing no other questions, a motion is requested.
All I move to approve.
Thank you, Jim.
More seconds.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to new business. I'll let Heather speak to the new resolution. One of them.
You can. I'm not sure if everyone else can. So thank you, everyone, and good afternoon. Each year, ODOT requires AMS to compare the work proposed in the previous year's transportation planning program and budget to the work that was completed. Attachment 6A is a summary of the fiscal year 2024 year-end completion report. The planning work necessary was completed by the end of the year, the fiscal year, on June 30th. All work remains within budget. Staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2024-17 to submit the fiscal year 2024 year-end completion report to ODOT. I can answer any questions if anyone has any.
As Heather stated, the motion is required.
So moved.
Second paragraph.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Attachment 6B in your mailout is Resolution 2024-18. The purpose of this resolution is to approve support for ODOT safety performance targets for calendar year 2025. Agencies like AMS are required to use transportation data to make their investment and policy decisions. While this seems apparent, other MPOs in the past are not using data to score and rank projects for program funding. AMS, however, for decades now has used data to score and rank their projects and prioritize their funding. In terms of safety data, this is our eighth year for supporting ODOT safety goals. With this resolution, staff is requesting support for ODOT's statewide 2% annual reduction target for all five safety performance measures. This is the same as last year's target, as significant progress was made towards. AMS agrees to plan and program projects so that they contribute towards the accomplishment of ODOT safety-related targets, which we already do. And AMS agrees to include performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection funding process, which we already do. So the staff is asking for your approval of Resolution 2024-18. Are there any questions?
As Jeff said, a motion is required.
Mossy, move to approve.
Jones, second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Jeff's going to present the last resolution.
Attachment 6C is Resolution 2024-19. It's a progress report for our four-year CMAQ performance plan. We're in the middle of this four-year CMAQ performance plan, so this is the mid-period progress report for that plan, which was approved 2 years ago to address congestion and air quality performance issues in the area. This progress report is done in conjunction with ODOT and the other MPOs in the state of Ohio. The AMS area is part of the Cleveland-Akron-Lorain non-attainment area, and that consequently makes us eligible for CMAQ funding. The attachment
dispatch progress report contains data for peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, and project level emissions reductions for CMAQ funded projects. Resolution 2024-19 approves the attached CMAQ progress report, reaffirms the current targets for delay and non-single occupancy travel, reaffirms that AMS will continue to spend CMAQ money in the area, reaffirms support for ODOT statewide congestion and air quality targets, and continues to use performance-based planning as part of the project selection and funding process. CMAQ progress reports, including a mail-out link, is also available on the AMS website. The staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2024-19. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Jeff. Seeing no questions, motion is required.
Move to adopt the reading.
All in second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, any other business, Curtis?
The only thing I want to reiterate, one is the annual meeting is October 11th, Friday. We'd love to see you there if you want to get an opportunity to see people really ham it up and have a good time. I'd highly encourage it. Second, just as Matt pointed out, there's a, we are getting towards the time where we're developing recommendations for our plan. So we are going to be reaching out to you via email if you want to sit down and have a meeting and just say, hey, you know, what are your 5-10 year goals, or what are some of the bigger projects you might be interested in doing? We want to make sure we get those on the plan, because while our plan is going till 2050, the reality is this plan is only in place for a 4-year period of when you guys are applying to us for projects. So we want to make sure if you think you're going to be building something here in the next 5 to 10 years, we want to make sure it's on our long range plan. To get you guys in the best position to get federal funding for that job, whether it's through us or through other funding sources. So you can expect to be hearing from us as we try to develop that list of projects.
Thank you, Curtis. Our next regular scheduled meeting is December 5th, same time, same place. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
There we go.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.